In 1924, Seattle's Sand Point was the site of one of the greatest aviation milestones of all time. But when we look back at aviation history, you know, we tend to emphasize Charles Lindbergh and the Wright brothers. A Seattle couple, though, wants to breathe new life into that momentous time with their own pioneering project. KUOW's Sarah Waller brings us that story.
You've probably seen it if you've driven along Sandpoint Way, a tall obelisk with bronze wings at the top. It stands at the entrance to Magnuson Park. It marks a spot where, in 1924, four planes called World Cruisers took off on a mission to circumnavigate the globe. It was 3 years before Lindbergh crossed the Atlantic, so flying all the way around the world seemed as risky and as audacious as going to the moon.
As they took off, they looked back at Mount Rainier, and one of the pilots said, "I wonder when, if ever, we'll ever see this majestic mountain again."
Two of the planes made it all the way around the globe.
A little slippery.
That's Seattle pilot Bob Dempster. He's down at the beach where the World Cruisers departed. It's raining and nearly dusk. Bob is here on a mission.
The goal is to, oh, look at the ducks.
The goal is to collect a bottle of christening water. Bob and his wife Diane, who's also a pilot, have spent the last 12 years building a 1924 World Cruiser replica. They plan to fly it around the world, retracing the original flight. And they'll use this lake water to christen their plane this Saturday at the Museum of Flight. The ceremony marks the culmination of years of work. But now, time is short, and there's a lot left to do.
I ordered a christening bottle, so...
You sure did. I think we have one back and we'll call for you.
Diane is making a last-minute run to a boating supply store to get a champagne-shaped bottle for the christening.
Look at it! Are there instructions with this?
The bottle is made of a special glass that will shatter easily. Diane is no stranger to these kinds of details. She works long shifts at Boeing on the 737 assembly line. Usually, she gets home around midnight. Bob, on the other hand, is an early riser and spends 7 days a week down at the hangar working on the airplane.
And he typically gets up at about 3 a.m.
So they don't get to share much time together. But they do share a dream, the World Cruiser. In the beginning, Bob and Diane took out loans against their house to finance the project. They gathered with fellow pilots and neighbors at a local coffee shop to talk about their plans. Then one day, Bob found a sign on the door saying the owners had retired.
And Bob says, "You can't do that.
That's our neighborhood coffee shop. And besides, where am I going to drink coffee?"
I said, "Well, then let's just buy it." So we decided we were going to start a coffee shop, knowing nothing about coffee.
Pretty soon, Bob and Diane began lugging in pieces of wood and building their plane in the coffee shop. They recruited anyone who stopped by to help out.
"Here's some glue. Here's these little nails. You can pound that in." And she goes, "Oh, Bob, I can't do that." And I said, sure, I'll fix you, you know, a coffee."
And it was fun. But we needed to move on to bigger parts of the airplane. You can't do in the coffee shop. So
eventually they moved to a hangar. Now the World Cruiser is parked outside on the tarmac at Boeing Field.
It's a large biplane. It's kind of a brownish color.
The Dempsters want this plane to be as authentic to the original as possible. Many of the parts come from original stock, like a 1918 Liberty engine and the antique instruments. If an original part was unavailable, Bob made an exact replica from the blueprints. He's also added a few modern touches, like the airplane's skin, which is a synthetic fabric.
And I'll just tap on it right here. The original fabric was a cotton. It was highly, highly flammable. Oh, it looks like it's starting to rain. Let's move under the wing a little bit here.
After 12 years of hard work, the plane is almost complete. But wires still need to be hooked up, final instruments clipped into place, and it all needs to happen before Saturday. Because after the christening, they hope to have the plane take its first official flight.
You know, day after day, 7 days a week, this is all I've done for 12 years.
I don't think anybody could have done all of the things that he does every day and has done throughout this project.
And Diane's been working so hard. Oh, my God. The other day, she got up at 8 o'clock in the morning, and she was working on the computer. And when she got into bed, I looked at the clock, and it was 3:47 in the morning. She had been there working all that time. If it wasn't for Diane, it wouldn't be here. That's all there is to it.
The World Cruiser has two open cockpit seats and needs two pilots to fly. But on its first flight, a professional test pilot will be on board, so only one of the dumpsters can go.
There's no question in my mind who's going to be in that airplane. It's not going to be me, not because I don't want to be in it, but every nut and bolt in that airplane is Bob. You know, he's, I shouldn't say nut, but Bob is Seattle World Cruiser.
They've named their plane the Seattle 2. In April next year, they'll begin their round-the-world journey to commemorate the 90th anniversary of the original flight. And Diane and Bob will both be at the controls, flying together. I'm Sarah Waller for KUOW.
Bob and Diane Dempster will be at Seattle's Museum of Flight tomorrow for a public christening of their World Cruiser. You can see the original Douglas World Cruiser taking off from Lake Washington at our website. I'm there right now. You can see the replica plane there, the Seattle 2. And there's a short video on what Sandpoint looked like in 1924 when the World Cruisers were christened. All of that is at KUOW.org.